Hi, Mike Gibson, Martha Galati here, talking about increasing the proportion of women in our clinical trials. You know, recently the CLEAR Outcomes study really managed to enroll about half of their patients as women in the study, and everyone cheered when that happened. Why aren't we doing that more often, Martha? How can we get there?
Yeah, that was a really remarkable study to get women in the trial and prove that you can do it. And in fact, they faced lots of obstacles. The CLEAR study was being done in the midst of COVID. It wasn't planned as a very pragmatic trial to make it easy. But again, it was asking or answering a question related to statin intolerance, which disproportionately affects women. And so when I talked with the investigators, they said they think that's why they had success in getting women into this trial. They actually couldn't think of anything that they did differently than their prior studies where maybe they didn't have good enough enrollment of women. We know, especially for lipid lowering trials, but we could talk about all kinds of trials in cardiovascular disease, we under enroll women in our trials, often because we don't plan for women. I think that, you know, I think nobody's held accountable. So even when you get government funding or pharmaceutical funding, someone should be holding people accountable to get the type of patients who have the disease into the trial, whether that be women, whether that be people of a certain race. You should just go for the lowest hanging fruit if it doesn't necessarily affect them disproportionately. I think also we learned during the pandemic, though, if you do a very pragmatic trial where you make it easy for people, more women will be part of those trials. Meaning if they can enter their data online themselves, or if they can meet the investigators in an easy way, they will be more likely to be part of it. We saw trials where there is more women in the trials that happened in that way during the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm leading the Heartline trial, which is all virtual. There's no bricks and mortar. You enroll on an app, you get followed up on an app, and we're doing, you know, pretty well there getting women engaged. But a lot of it is bringing the trial to people, not expecting people to come to the big academic medical center. So you're right, Martha. If we make things a little more virtual where they can do those, you know, patient reported outcomes online or on an app, they don't have to come pay $30 an hour to park or something. That's going to be much better, right? And they often feel the need to be home for child rearing, caring for parents, et cetera, and bringing the trial to them makes it easier for them to participate.
Yes. And I think also another thing we need to think about, and I know you think about this a lot, but is who are your trialists? Who is your research team? And by having a more diverse community involved in clinical trials, I think that makes a difference too, because people who are different will tell you different things about what's important to them. So whether for women, like you said, if they've got more family responsibilities and not able to come to a clinic setting, that might be something that people resolve when they're planning the trial rather than like, now, why did we get so few women in our trial after we close out? So I think we need to think about those issues too when we're thinking about who do we want to lead our trials, who should be the, you know, site trialist, who should be the ones planning the trial. We need to start being more cognizant of our community.
Yeah. And to that point, Martha, we now have, as part of the trials I'm doing, we actually have a patient steering committee, which has women on it, obviously equally represented, where they can tell us, you know, is this going to be feasible for people to do? And women can weigh in, say, is it feasible for a woman to participate in this study? So I think some studies are making advances in that area, which I think is critical.
Yeah, I think so too, especially when we look at the commonest diseases in cardiology, coronary artery disease and heart failure, we have a lot of catching up to do. And so I think we need to change the way we do research.
I agree. Well, Martha, thanks for joining us today. And thanks to all of you for tuning in and listening.